Hey, welcome to The Gathering. I'm Dave Merrill. I'm this online site pastor, and I'm coming at you this week from the very first ever Pizza Hut in Wichita State University here in Wichita, Kansas. We're here for a wedding. We just found that out. We thought that was pretty cool. But we just wanted to say thank you so much for being here today. We hope that you find out that this is a place where you can fully belong. We believe that the way of Jesus is radically inclusive. So wherever you are and whenever you find yourself, we hope you feel like you belong as part of this church. If you do and you're new, we hope that you'll send a text to that number on the screen. That's my personal number. I'll be glad to get back to you, send you guys some resources to get further connected to the church and just introduce ourselves. But we're really, really glad that you're watching today. As we get ready to head into the sermon, I just want to remind you to like, post, comment, share wherever you are, because that's how we get the word out in this digital age. But for now, guys, I hope you enjoy the service. Take care and have a great week.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering. It's so great to have you worshiping with us. Thank you for tuning in and making that effort. If you've never done it, before we get started, there's a number at the bottom of your screen. If you're new, text your name to that number. It's just a way for me to know that you were here. I can connect with you. I'll also be hosting an event called Next, which is just a chance to learn a little bit more about the church. So if you text your name to that number, I'll make sure that you get an invitation to that. Okay, as we start today, every time I start preaching a message, I know this, that all of us are in a different life situation, and I get that. And there's a complexity to trying to speak to people who are in so many different situations in life. But I was thinking today that actually there's at least one thing that we all have in common that is 100% true about every single one of us, and that is that 2020, the year, is not panning out the way that we had planned. Am I at least right about that? In fact, I don't know if you've seen it. There's a meme that's going around the internet for some time, and the meme is pretty simple. It's a split screen. There's two pictures. You can pick the pictures, but the first picture is supposed to represent your plans for the new year, and the second picture is supposed to represent the reality of 2020. And you can put whatever pictures you want in there, and so I picked just some of my favorites from the internet. You can kind of see how this works. I'll put a few up. You see that? The first picture is the plans. The second picture is the reality of 2020. Well, they're funny. There is a ton of these. I even created one for myself. Here's mine. Yeah, this picture represents, my plans and the reality of 2020. So whatever images you picked, the idea is the same, right? That the year is not panning out to be the way that you had planned. That we entered the year with goals, with hopes, with dreams, with expectations, and all of those things have been disrupted by the reality of the pandemic. That much is certain, that our lives have been disrupted. What is not so easy to figure out, what all of us, I think, are scrambling to want to understand is, how do we live in the midst of disruption? What do we do when our lives are disrupted? Today, we're beginning a series, and really, that's what it's all about. It's about how to live when our life and when our plans have been completely interrupted and disrupted by the events of life. We're not just going to be throwing out wisdom for living, but we're going to be tracking a biblical story that in so many ways parallels, I think, some of the things that we're experiencing. It is a story of collective disruption in the life of the Israelite people. In fact, it's one of the two most important stories in the Old Testament. It has a story that has so many of the same things that we're experiencing. It has pain, it has disappointment, it has hardship, it has economic catastrophe, it has violence, but it is also a story ultimately of promise and a story of hope. The story that we're going to be learning from is called the exile. And now I know that probably not a lot of you know much about the exile. And so in this series, we're going to learn a lot. We're going to learn what that story is, why it was so important historically. But we're not just going to do a big history lesson, because from this story, we're going to learn lessons for how to live in the midst of disruption today. So with all that being said, let me jump in and just share with you what the exile is, because I know some of you don't even know what I'm referring to. Well, the exile was a historical event in the history of the Israelite people. And it began roughly around 600 BC when the Babylonian Empire came and conquered the city of Jerusalem, the holy city. They conquered the city, they tore down the city walls, they completely destroyed the temple in the middle of the city, and then they took the Jewish leaders out of the city back to Babylon to live in captivity. And that captivity was called exile. They lived there for roughly 70 years. And so now we refer to this roughly 70-year period as the exile. This time when the Jewish people not only had their lives completely disrupted, their city destroyed, but were literally and physically taken away from that home, that place that was familiar to them, to live as captives. But this wasn't just a historical event for the Jewish people. I mean, it also became a spiritual one. When they reflected back on exile, they began to see just how God was inviting us to live even when our lives are disrupted. So they learned so much about themselves, about God, and most of all, how to live when life doesn't go the way that we had thought. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk about kind of the events leading up to the exile, because I think it's important to see why the Israelites and consequently why so many of us are so susceptible to disruptions in our lives. Where do disruptions come from? Well, let me just give you kind of like a quick 400-year history of the Jewish people. This is going to take just a second. Remember that The story of the Israelites really started when they were slaves in Egypt, and God had taken them out of Egypt. I've preached a lot about this, the Exodus story, into the wilderness and eventually to the Promised Land. And when they were in the Promised Land, eventually they finally had their own kingdom. And their most famous king, David, you can read about King David in the Bible, rose to power. And under King David, life finally started to look stable. For maybe the first time in their lives, they had stability and security and some amount of financial prosperity. They had protection from other kingdoms. But they also began to develop this religious belief that the city of Jerusalem wasn't just any old city, it was God's city. They weren't just any old people, they were God's people. That the walls around the city were protected not just by soldiers, but by God. That the temple was not just a place to worship by God, but God dwelled inside the temple. And they began to believe this so much that God was with them that they thought that nothing, no threat outside the city could ever harm them, because this was God's city and they were God's people. Scholars have given this a name. It was called the inviolability of Zion. Nothing could ever happen to us because God's on our side. And in fact, there's multiple places in the Bible where you get a sense of this belief. Let me read to you one of those. I invite you, if you have a Bible, you can pick it up. This is Psalm 46. It's a great psalm, but listen to this expectation the people had, that because God was with them, nothing bad could ever happen to them. This is Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a help always near in times of great trouble. That's why we won't be afraid when the world falls apart, when the mountains crumble into the center of the sea, when its waters roar and rage, when mountains shake because of the surging waves. There is a river whose streams are glad in God's city, the holiest dwelling of the Most High. God is in that city. It will never crumble. I mean, you see there this deep belief that no matter what might happen in the world, it's not going to impact us because God is protecting us. And so now I want you to just fast forward 400 years to the decades leading up to the exile. And suddenly we begin to see that by this time, that faith, what had started out as just faith that God would protect us, had turned into this overconfidence, almost this sort of arrogance or hubris that we can do whatever we want because God is on our side. That what started out as a gift that God had given us had become, by the time of the exile, sort of this expectation, this right. No longer did they see themselves as sort of the people that were there to serve God, but God was almost there to serve them, to give them what they thought by this time they were due. They had stopped seeing life as uncertain and mysterious and something to be held loosely, and they began to see their stability, their security, their prosperity as something that God owed them. In other words, they had a lot of expectations about how life was going to go and about how God was going to act and about what things were going to be like. And those expectations really set the stage for the disruption that they were about to experience. I want you to think about that for just a second, that expectations really set the stage for disruption, don't they? I mean, disruptions are just unmet expectations, right? I mean, think about this in our own life. Disruptions come because we have such a specific expectation about what's going to happen that when it doesn't happen, it throws up in the air the life that we thought we had. I want you to think about this on a smaller scale, that we wake up every day with so many expectations about what's going to happen in our life, about how the world is going to work. We have all sorts of expectations of other people, don't we? You know, this past Friday, Jessica and I celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary. It was a big deal in our lives. I wrote about it in the M note, kind of 21 things I've learned in 21 years of marriage. And one of the things that I listed there is people don't always live up to our expectations. Now, I know that sounds simple, but how often do you do that to people, even people you love? You have expectations in your head about how they should act, how they're going to respond to you when you're in a bad mood, what you think that they ought to say in different situations. And then you set up all these expectations, and when they don't live up to your expectations, you get mad at them. Then suddenly it becomes their fault that they've disrupted your image of how they ought to act. We do this all the time in life, not just with other people. But think about it. We have so many expectations about how life ought to work. You know, you act good, good things ought to come your way. You work hard, you should be rewarded. You know, you parent well and your kids ought to behave. The older you get, the more you should have. You treat others well, they ought to treat you well back. We even do this with God. You know, have faith, go to church, pray, do the things that you're supposed to do, and God is going to bring good things into your life. We're people who have a lot of expectations about what life ought to look like. And here's the thing. The root of disruption is really unfair expectations. The root of disruption is unfair expectations. And before the exile, this is where the Israelites were. They had stopped seeing life or what they had as a gift to be appreciated, and they began to see it as sort of a right, something that they were owed, something that they could predict and control. They stopped seeing themselves as serving God, and they started seeing God as serving the lives that they wanted to live. I think most of all, they lost this sense of the mystery of life, of just how uncertain and elusive it is. How much it should be appreciated and not expected each and every day. And when they got into this mindset, when they got into that place of arrogance or even hubris, it was right there that they were the most vulnerable to the disruption that was about to come. I name this because I think when it comes to our life, it's not a bad thing to have expectations. I mean, it's not a bad thing to have goals and have dreams and to want certain things to happen. It's part of life that over time we just begin to take things for granted, to expect that the good things in our life are just going to be there. But I do think it's easy for us to slip into that place where we no longer see so many of the things of our life as blessings to be appreciated. That we forget that life is essentially something that we can't control, we can't predict, that we don't have a right to, that it's a gift. We do over time, I think, begin to just assume that we are owed certain things, that we have a right to certain things. We come to expect that these things are just always going to be there. You know, when it comes to the pandemic, I don't think that God has sent the pandemic to punish us or to reveal something to us, but I do know that in the course of this pandemic, I am learning things about myself. There are certain things, I think, about us collectively that are being revealed, and one of those things is that we have a lot of expectations about what our life ought to be like. And that maybe in the midst of this pandemic, we've seen that we began to take so many things in our life for granted. I know that I have in my own life, I've taken for granted simple things, time with family and people that I love, the ability to just connect freely with others, to go places that I wanted to go. I began to take things like financial, maybe security for granted, my health, you take for granted, even church. Just the ability to gather together as God's people, to hug each other, to shake hands, to have coffee in the lobby, to sit and to sing and to be together, that I began to take so many of these things for granted. I just expected that they would always be there. And of course, the pandemic has revealed that those things aren't always there. It's disrupted my life, our lives, in major ways. But I think it also has revealed the extent to which maybe we've come to expect things instead of appreciating them for the gifts that they always have been. I wonder sometimes if I've stopped having like a healthy appreciation for all these gifts that are in my life. So what's the answer to this? What will we read in the prophet Jeremiah? And Jeremiah was a prophet to those people right in the wake of exile. He was speaking to them right before the exile, right in the midst of it. And he says this sort of warning to them. It was a warning that they didn't listen to. But we can reflect back on it now. This is what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 9:23. He says, "The Lord proclaims, the learned should not boast of their knowledge, no warriors boast of their might, nor the rich boast of their wealth." In essence, Jeremiah was saying, look, you need to recover a sense of humility about your life. Friends, today, as we reflect back on the story of the exile, I think that we too could learn from that, to recover a healthy sense of humility about life. That life is something precious. We don't get to control it. We don't get to predict it. We don't have a right to certain things in it, but it is a gift that has been given to us. And along with that humility, maybe we should have a recognition that our days are gifts, that our weeks are gifts, that we don't get to control them. We have no guarantee that they're always going to be there. Maybe we need to begin to hold more loosely the things that we have now, knowing that there's no guarantee that we're going to have those things in the future. And maybe most importantly, we ought to remember the things that we do have around us are gifts that we ought to be grateful for. They're not rights that we should always expect. And so today, that's what I want to invite you to do. I know that right now our lives are disrupted in so many painful ways, and I don't want to minimize that. But today I invite you to just recognize the gifts that you do have today. Today I want us to just recover a sense that life is elusive and that we don't know what tomorrow or next week or next month is going to bring. And so today should be enjoyed for the gift it is, that we should be grateful for it, that we should soak it up, and we should be careful about thinking or expecting that life ought to always work out the way that we plan. And so today, let's recover a sense of humility, a recognition that our days are gifts, and most of all, let's be grateful to the God who has given these things to us. I invite you to pray with me. Gracious and holy God, today I pray that you would put in us a spirit of humility about life, that we would hold loosely to what we have, that we would always be grateful to you. God, today, just help us to see what we don't have a right to, but what we have right in front of us. Help us to soak it up as the gift that it is and guard in us. Guard us against that sense of arrogance that somehow the world or you owe us anything. But help us to remember that everything is a gift. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and joining me today. A couple things I want to leave you with. First, we would love your support here at The Gathering through your giving. You can give financially to support our ministry on our Gathering app. I also hope that you'll invite someone. If you found this message meaningful, you can share it with others on social media. You can subscribe to our podcast. And also, you can always check out other content of ours, worship music, testimonies. You can join us for a full worship service on Sunday mornings. All that can be found through our Gathering app. So just search Gathering STL in any app store. And now I just want to leave you with this blessing. As you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit be in your life today and always. Amen.